The following program is a production of the Fairfax Network, Fairfax County Public Schools.
First, I thought this book is very boring because I never read Stuart Gibbs books. And then finally, when I read it, I was like so excited and I wanted to read the other book called Spaced Out.
Welcome to Meet the Author. I'm your host, Emily Godfrey. Today, I'm thrilled to be speaking with New York Times bestselling author Stuart Gibbs. His popular book series include Moon-Based Alpha, Fun Jungle, Last Musketeer, and Spy School. His latest book is called Spy School: Secret Service. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Stuart, I read a fun fact about you on your website, that you studied biology in college and that you are an expert in capybaras.
I was an expert on capybaras. I feel like there are people who know much more than me.
Yes. Well, I think a lot of people are probably saying, like, capy what?
Yes, yeah, the world's largest rodent. They're about as big as that footstool.
I think we have
there,
a picture right? here.
Oh, there you go. Yes,
yes,
they're adorable.
Super cute.
Yes, I know people go, oh, giant rat, but they're more like a giant guinea pig of a certain sort. Yeah, and so they're about that big, and they live in the rainforests of South America, and they're semi-aquatic. And yeah, I became an expert by accident, which I'm sure happens all the time in the scientific community. But it just so happened that I was studying biology. I was interested in being a field biologist, and we had to go to the zoo and pick an animal to study. And I picked the capybara because I had kind of heard about it. It had just shown up at the zoo, and I did not realize at the time when I picked it that nobody else had studied it yet. And so after a couple days, I knew more about it than anybody else in the United States, at least. When I turned in my thesis paper, they were like, okay, this is the biggest paper that's ever been written on this.
That's amazing.
Yes, so.
Has any of that informed your writing, like any of the series that you write for teens and children?
I think my experience of studying animals has informed that. And I spent a lot of time at the zoo. That was actually how Fun Jungle ended up coming, the belly up in all those books, because I started to see what was happening behind the scenes in the zoo, and I started to talk to zookeepers, who are the most fun people ever to talk
about. I'm sure they have good stories.
Yes, they have wonderful stories. A lot of them are about things that went wrong at the zoo or other zoos. I'm not saying things go wrong at zoos all the time, but they sort of go through the, you know, through the network and everyone hears about them.
Yeah.
And then and I just started to say, like, a zoo is just a fantastic place to set a book series. And I then had to think, what kind of story could I tell there? And I thought, I'd never read a mystery where an animal was the victim, so that seemed to be the right kind of story to do. And yeah, so my love of biology, I wanted to be a writer first, technically, all the time, but I really love science. And so my capybara fascination became belly up there. So.
That's very cool how your journey led you to write these stories.
Yeah, well, I think you just keep your mind open to what excites you, and who knows where it leads you.
Yeah. Well, now that we've discussed the 800-pound rodent in the room,
yes.
Let's turn the conversation over to some students from Coates Elementary School. They have read your books, and here's what they want to know.
All right.
Did you like writing when you were young? When did you first start making books?
How did you make your book so good that you became the New York Times best-selling author?
Did any other author inspire you to write books?
Did you like to read books in your early childhood?
Those were some great getting to know you questions.
Yeah, excellent getting to know you questions.
Well, let's start with the first one. Did you like writing when you were young?
I loved writing when I was young. I really think I started writing from the moment I could read. I have all kinds of stuff from when I was just a little kid. And I think the moment I could read a book, I was trying to figure out how to write one.
Did you save any of those stories?
I did save them. Yes, I have a couple. When I talk at schools, I sometimes put some of those old things up there so the kids can see them. See that my handwriting has not changed at all since I was a child.
So here's the next question. How did you make your book so good that you became the New York Times best-selling author?
That is a fantastic question, by the way. I love that question.
That is a very good question.
I'm really just trying to write a book that I would have liked to read when I was a kid, and something would have appealed to me. And technically, I don't make myself the New York Times best-selling author. You, the librarians and the readers, those, you guys are making me the best-selling author. I'm just writing something I hope somebody will buy, and then if people buy it, then.
Well, people enjoy them. The kids, they really enjoyed them. So that's awesome.
That's the most flattering thing to ever hear.
Well, here's the next question. Did any other author inspire you to write books?
I was absolutely inspired. I think the greatest mystery ever written this day is The Westing Game by Ellen Raskin. I can read that over and over and over again. I did really love Roald Dahl, as many people do, but my go-to book of his was actually Danny the Champion of the World, which is not quite as famous. The Phantom Tollbooth by Norton Juster, and just learning how to play with language and all that. And then I have to give props to some other guy, Carl Hiaasen, who was not writing books for kids
when you were growing up.
I was growing up, but I found him as an adult. Kids do not read Carl Hiaasen yet. And Michael Crichton, who sadly I think a lot of kids don't realize is the brains behind Jurassic Park. But I found him when I was in middle school, and he was the guy who said, hey, you can combine science and adventure and create these really amazing stories.
Well, I think you kind of answered the last two, like when you started first writing books, you said when you were really young.
I did, yeah, but I actually, because I, we're in the Washington, D.C. area here, and I did go to school in Garrett Park, Maryland, and one of the kids asked, when did I start writing books? And technically, I was writing when I was young, but my very first book, I didn't get it published, but my elementary school librarian at Garrett Park put a book that I wrote in the school library there.
Librarians are so kind.
They really are amazing. But that was a really sort of seminal thing for somebody to do, that my book could go in the library and my friends could go check it out, and they let me keep it. It's not there anymore.
Oh.
I have that still, but I have the library card, and I can see how many kids checked it out.
Do you remember what the story was about?
Yeah, it was called The Day the Dinosaurs Came Back. So maybe, I'm not sure that Michael Crichton stole this from me. Mine was a little bit more of a fantasy, but yes, that a bunch of dinosaurs came back to life, there were no velociraptors back then. That was before velociraptors. They caused some trouble in a town, but then everybody became friends with them at the end.
Well, that's a really nice story.
Thank you.
It sounds like it had a really good ending.
It did, and it ended very nicely. Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
I think when you were a kid, you sort of wrote how many pages you had, and I kind of wrapped it up very quick. I was like, I only have 6 pages. I got to end this thing.
And everyone was happy.
Right, happily ever after. Boom, done.
That's fantastic. So do you have a question for Stuart Gibbs? Join the conversation and give us a call. Have you ever wondered how authors and editors use book cover art and book hooks to get readers interested in reading their book? Fourth grade students at Coates Elementary School have a lot to say on this subject. Let's take a look.
Today we're going to be finishing up our Stuart Gibbs project, the author that we've been reading books from all fall long. Some of you are creating book hooks.
My heart is beating as fast as the gunshots. I, Ben Ripley, a person in a dark, shadowy cloak, started approaching me. He got ready to, do what he has to do. So we read the book Spy School from Stuart Gibbs, and we're doing a book hook. A book hook is trying to, make the reader want to read the book, because you don't really know what the book's going to be about and if you like it or not. So if you read the back, it's supposed to pull you into the book and convince you to read it.
We have recreating our book cover and then redoing the artwork, trying to pull people in and give a really cool picture so that people are going to want to read this book and get a little bit of information about what's in this book.
Our book cover is different because we are going to focus on making Teddy and Summer, the two characters in the book, talking together.
For our book cover remake, we decided to do two sections, an evil section and an exciting section, because we think that's the two biggest parts in the story.
We liked the idea of Henry just being belly up by himself, and then we thought we would put like a little more detail. We were going to put like the bad guy and the good guy, and then we were thinking we could add more detail by adding like little animals because they were in a zoo. The question mark is for the mystery, for like why did he go belly up?
We read the book Space Case by Stuart Gibbs. We decided to make this, the letters like this, Space Case, like it's a crossword puzzle, to give it a galaxy-like touch because it's in space.
Space Case? That's our book cover. So we made this book cover different. We wanted to show not only the suspects, but we wanted to show the people who are like finding the suspect. And so we added what they could see from the moon.
Stuart, those students came up with some great ideas to recreate the cover art and hooks for your books.
They really did. I think all of them could get jobs in, at the publishing house right now, I think.
Well, as a librarian, I know how important it is to have a great hook and have a great cover when kids are browsing for books. There's so many options. Do you ever get to put in much input in this process?
I've gotten to put some input in, although I'm really lucky in that I have just an absolutely fabulous cover designer, Lucy Cummins. And Lucy often just hits it right out of the park on the first shot. So, can you show the belly up cover over there?
I mean, that we have
that
it back
just
here.
A phenomenal cover. And the moment that showed, I that got emailed to me, and the first thing I did was print it out and stick it at one end of my house and walk to the other end of my house. And I said, like, you can see that. You can see that all the way across the library or across the bookstore.
It does stand out, and the colors are very, very eye-catching.
Yeah.
Do you collaborate with her to come
Lucy,
up with covers?
A little bit. I mean, often the way it works is I say, maybe it would be better if you did this, and then she changes it, and I go, oh, no, you were right the first time. but there was the Spy School cover with the silhouette. It was not originally a silhouette. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of the same idea, and it wasn't quite right, and I had some input, and some other people had some input, and then Lucy just ended up coming up with just the absolutely amazing cover that we have now, and then it was her idea to just sort of keep kind of recreating the theme of that cover, and now I'm almost motivated to write books by just what Lucy will do with it,
just to keep the series going.
Yeah. Well, just to say, like, oh, right. I mean, the next one is going to go south, and you sort of say, like, okay, well, you know, let's see him in a tropical location. What is Lucy going to do? And she just blows me away every single time.
He would look great with a tropical shirt on.
He would, right? Yeah.
So, what about the book hooks? Do you get to write those?
Some of those we work a little. That is tough. That line that girl had, my heart is beating as fast as a gunshot. That's a great line.
You should hire her.
Yeah, we really should. That sort of is. There's all sorts of people working on those. Figuring out how to sell your book is different than when you're writing. It's a whole different type of writing there. But so, yeah, I do collaborate a little bit on that and try and think what's the best way to get somebody excited about this.
Well, thank you. Right now we're going to take an email question.
Right.
This is from Megan, and she says, you have a lot of book series. How long does it take you to write a book? And when you start writing a book, do you know you'll write a follow-up?
Okay. It takes about 3 to 6 months to write the first draft of the book. That depends how much research I have to do on that. And then, but that's just the first draft. And then you have to do lots of other drafts. And I've talked to a lot of other authors to see who's doing most drafts. And we all seem to be doing about 8 to 10. So that's a lot more work. That's another year of going back to that book and working on that. And then the question, do I know I'm going to do another one? When I wrote Belly Up, which is the first book in the Fun Jungle series, I did not know. When I wrote Spy School, I didn't know that I was going to be doing another one. But now I know I'm going to be doing sequels. And that's really helpful, because a lot of the time when you're writing a book, you think of an idea you can't use. Or you say, oh, what would happen to this character now? And so now I can say, oh, I have another idea for another book. I can do this in book 6 or 7.
Well, and that question was a great lead-in to talk about your writing process and how you organize your ideas. Like you just said, do you kind of have like 6 books out planned already, and you're just kind of filling
They're
in?
They're all sort of in various stages. So not every writer writes the same way, but I love yellow legal pads. And so I am constantly carrying one around, and I start brainstorming and jotting ideas down. I'm in Washington, D.C. Something might have occurred to me over the last couple of days, being someplace. And so I write those down, and then those slowly start to turn into outlines. And then once I have an outline that I really like, that's when I start writing.
Well, and your books are fiction, but I'm sure you still need to do some research.
I do a lot of research.
Can you talk a little bit about your approach to research?
I really try to learn about anything that interests me in the slightest. So for the Fun Jungle series, I contact zoos, and I go behind the scenes at the zoos, and I talk to zookeepers. I usually start with an animal that kind of interests me, and see what I can do with that. I will also, for the Space Case, I had a very good friend. That came because I had a really good friend who was an astronaut. Mm-hmm. And so I was already getting this kind of amazing access to what the life of an astronaut was like. But since then, I've gone to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. I will go to the, you know, behind the scenes at the Air and Space Museum here. And so you really just are just chasing down every piece of research you possibly can.
Do you go with an idea in mind, or do you just let, like, when you go to some place like the, like these labs?
I think I start with just like the tiniest bit of an idea, but really in doing the research and talking to people, that starts to inform me about where the story can go.
So we have actually a phone call.
Oh, great.
We have a student who has a question for you. Caller, what is your name, and what is your question for Stuart Gibbs?
My name is Nolan. My question is, are you making a new series? And if you are, then what's your new series going to be called?
Okay. Hi, Noel. Thanks for that question. I am going to be starting a new series. I'm going to be starting work on it in the next couple months. I don't know what it's going to be called yet. And maybe one of the great secrets of writing is often the title is the very last thing that you write as an author. Because you need to write the book and see what feels right. And a lot of the time I'll have kids say to me, I want to write something, but I don't know what to call it. And you don't need to know what to call it. Just write it and then see what title feels right when you're finished.
We have another caller. Caller, what is your name and what is your question?
Hi, my name is Tatiana, and my question is, what do you do when you have writer's block? Do you look for inspiration in friends, family, the environment that you live in?
Oh, okay. First of all, yeah, everybody gets writer's block. I find the best thing, that's very good to realize that you have to maybe get your inspiration elsewhere. So I do like to take a step back from the computer, and I can go talk to people about it. I can run ideas past my children. I like to take walks. So I find that if I go for a walk around my neighborhood, which I guess is getting inspired by my environment, I can sort of play around with the ideas that I'm working on and start to put those into an idea that I get excited about again.
Can you talk a little bit more about how you develop your characters and build them throughout your stories?
Sure. Well, it's very important to me to write characters that are really intelligent. What I love about mysteries is that's a story where the smartest person wins. Throughout history, every great
totally
detective
agree.
that's their superpower, and it's a superpower we can all have, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's got a brain, and you know, knows it's just using it. But I also think that sadly, a lot of the ways that smart people are presented is in media for like on Big Bang Theory is like not as they're shown as geeks and nerds and not as smart people really mm-hmm. are. So when I start writing something, I really like to start from the point of view of saying like, let me show you a really smart person who is not a social misfit, but yeah. actually fits into society relatively well. They might have doubts about themselves, but they're actually a pretty good person. And so I start from there and try to make them sort of a relatable character who just happens to be pretty smart. And so that's sort of where I start with my leads. And then I know I write boys, but I know that girls are very, very smart. They might be smarter than the boys are. And so I always want to make sure there's a really strong female character who's also quite smart, but maybe smart in a slightly different way than the boy is, so she brings something else to the story. I like to make sure that if I have the parents in the story, that they're intelligent people. I like to make sure that, you know, all my scientists are not like nerdy scientists,
yeah.
but they're kind of cool, dynamic people, which is the way I know scientists actually mm-hmm. are. And then coming up with evil people is very interesting.
Is that more fun sometimes?
Sometimes it is. You know, the evil person you don't have to hang the story on. So you can say, like, well, what would be really fun to have as an evil person? So, like, one of my favorite evil people I've ever come up with is Ashley Sparks from Evil Spy School, who, because I was trying to think, like, who becomes evil? What kid grows up and says, like, I'm going to become evil? And I was watching the Olympics, and I was watching the girls' gymnast, and I thought, you know, you never hear about the girl who just barely missed making the Olympic team by like a hundredth of a point. I thought, if anybody becomes evil, that's the girl.
Oh, yeah, that's a breaking
evil.
Point.
Yeah, right, in there. So, right, she spent her whole life building up to this and missed it by the tiniest bit. And then I know there are people out there who have missed it by that much. I don't think they've actually become evil. I'm sure they're lovely people. But I thought that would be a fun character.
Well, thank you. Those are great writing tips. And we actually have another phone call from a student. Caller, what is your name and what is your question for Stuart Gibbs?
My name is Kristen.
Hi, Kristen.
And
what's your question?
Have you ever thought about writing a book about yourself or anyone you know?
Oh, have I ever thought about writing a book about myself? I kind of do that. I think when I write my characters, there's always a little bit of me in there. But one of the great secrets that I'm about to ruin here about the about the Moonbase Alpha series with Space Case and Spaced Out is that the main characters in that series, Dashiell and Violet, are based very closely on people I know very well, which is my own children. And Kira Howard, who shows up, is actually really my niece in that story as well.
Oh, wow. So we have another phone call. Caller, what is your name and what is your question?
Me?
Yeah, what's your question?
My question is that what was your first book to get published?
My first book to get published was Belly Up.
Thank you, caller. So we have many authors that get advice during the writing process, and sometimes even after a book is published. Let's listen to what students are saying about books by Stuart Gibbs.
So we decided that Spy School was a very good book, and once I like started reading it, I couldn't just like wait.
We enjoyed the funny parts, we enjoyed the exciting parts. Evil parts, it made the story interesting, but it was probably not what we enjoyed the best.
I liked it because it was a mix of many different types of stories, and like love story and a mystery and like a life of a kid.
We read the book Space Case by Stuart Gibbs. Once you read the first couple pages, like from page 1 to 5, you kind of get pulled in. So when we finished the book, it was a bit mysterious. It was intriguing.
I really liked the book because it was mystery, and I love reading mystery books.
I would recommend this book because it has a lot of detail, and as you can see, like they're trying to figure out if someone murdered Dr. Hulk.
The Those were some rave reviews. Are you breathing a sigh of relief?
I am, yeah. Oh man, when you write something, you really put it out there and say, oh, I hope people like this.
Well, that brings up a great point. Like, how do you handle having your book edited or critiqued?
Well, I think anytime somebody has, with my editor knows what she's doing. So if she's saying, like, here's an issue, then there's a really good chance she's right. So then I have to look at that and figure out how to fix things. I know a lot of authors who do not like to read their critiques, but I do it all the time. I love to read what people have to say about it.
Well, and can you tell the viewers a little bit about what the relationship is like between an author and an editor?
Oh, yeah. Hopefully you're friends, and it's not just a business relationship. That you want to really sort of click on a level like where you can talk about stuff and you know, have similar thoughts about where you'd like these stories to go and what you're trying to do with them. And so, yeah, I mean, I think when the editor gives you notes, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't say, like, mm-hmm. you're not like, oh, she didn't like this part. You say, like, oh, she's recognizing, like, here's a way that things could be better. Here's something that's not totally clear. And so it's a really good sort of friendly working relationship.
Well, we have another phone call question for you. Caller, what is your name and what is your question?
Hi, my name is Sophia, and my question for him is, where did his inspiration come from?
Oh, that's a great question. Okay, inspiration can come from anywhere. You heard I like doing research, so I get a lot of inspiration from research, but I find that I really do like to try and experience as much as I can, because I really don't know where something is, where an inspiration is going to strike me. So instead of just sitting at home, I'm trying to go out and go to museums or visit new places, and I do try and read as much as I possibly can, and just ideas, like, if you open yourself up, ideas are just coming in from all over the place.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much.
Sure.
I think that we have time for a few more questions from our students at Coates Elementary School.
Great.
Oh, nope. Actually, we don't have enough time for that. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. I'm sorry, kids.
We'll get to that later. Right. Could you tell me a little bit more about developing the setting for your stories?
Yeah, I think that my stories really, actually, more than anything else, start with the setting. That when I decided, I really didn't say, like, oh, I want to do a mystery about a dead hippo. I wanted to do a mystery set in a zoo, and I wanted to do something set at a moon base, and I wanted to do something in a spy school. So one of the very first things I do is start to work out what that place is like. The first, absolute first thing I did for the Moonbase Alpha series was draw out what Moonbase Alpha was going to look like, so I could figure out what that world was going to be like, how all my characters were going to move around. And so that you do a tremendous amount of research to figure out how those spaces will work. I'd been technically doing research for years on the Fun Jungle series without knowing it, because I just like going to zoos. So when the time came to start designing this great place, I could say, oh, here's this fantastic exhibit I like from this zoo, and here's another one I like from this zoo, and why did I like those exhibits? I stole stuff from zoos all over the world to create Fun Jungle.
Well, thank you for letting us know about that.
Sure.
We're almost out of time, but before we go, do you have any advice for aspiring authors?
Sure, yeah. I think I've sort of glanced on it a little bit, which is, I would say that to just experience stuff. And I realize that I'm talking to kids here, and kids might say, like, oh, how am I supposed to experience stuff? I can't drive. But I think if your parents come to you and say, hey, do you want to go to a museum today? Do you want to go to the zoo today? Like, say yes. Don't say, no, I want to stay home and play video games. Go out with them. Go on trips with your parents. Encourage your parents to take you places. If you hear about some place that's really cool, you know, press them. And that's, you know, just chase all your interests down. Mm-hmm. And if you know, whatever you are really, really passionate about, that's what you should be writing about.
Sounds like just stay curious.
Stay curious.
Ask a lot of questions.
Yes. Why did I not? I could have just said that. Stay curious.
No, you said it so much better.
Okay. Stay curious. Yes. Curiosity is the gateway to writing all this stuff.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you here today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
For more information about Stuart Gibbs, visit his website. For more information about Meet the Author, check out our website. Until next time, I'm Emily Godfrey. Keep reading, keep writing, and keep dreaming.